Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Retail Connections podcast, which is where we talk to retailers and tech companies about some of the biggest problems they face as retail tries to get back to something approaching normal, which I think we can all agree is not going to be like it was before, given the extent to which so much retail has shifted online and certainly looks set to continue. I'm Chris Field. I'm the managing editor of Retail Connections, and my guest today is Robin Coles, who is the managing director for Europe for XC Commerce, which is a promotion management company. Robin, hello.
Hello, Chris. Very delighted to join you today.
Pleasure. So the reason I wanted to do this podcast with you, and we've had chats before, is that you've been doing some research recently with consumers, which I always gets my attention because I think tech companies can have a tendency to kind of say, this is what's happening in the world, and they might find a bit of third-party research from some of the consultants to back up their case. But actually, there's nowhere to hide when you talk real consumers who've got no other reason to talk to you because we're not paying them any money, is to try and understand what it's like for the average consumer to be on the receiving end of all the promotions that retailers run online and through their stores. And I think that there's been almost, you may have detected this yourself, almost a kind of note of desperation on the part of some retailers and brands in the current climate to get the attention of consumers that they've simply not seen in their stores. And I think the results that you've come up with are pretty interesting. And even more interesting is the fact that they definitely contradict some of the assumptions that retailers tend to make about promotions and how they actually perform. And to give you a perfect example, which cites some of this research, is I read an article in Net Imperative last week, which said, and I quote, "Inconsistent cross-channel promotions are the biggest irritation for today's omni-channel shoppers." Just put a brackets around omni-channel because we'll come back to that. Omni-channel shoppers, and 44% of them in this research said that retailers don't join the dots when offering promotions and discounts in-store and online. So, Robin, I'm going to hit you with that first question. So what's going on here?
Well, you raised lots and lots and lots of points there, Chris. Actually, I'm glad you brought that thing about technology companies up, because technology companies tend to focus inward instead of outward. And if I went to one of our guys in their office and said, what do we do? They would say, well, we write promotion software for retailers. And I would say, hold on, no, we don't. We actually enable retailers to give customers what they want in terms of promotions, and omni-channel promotions is one of the things that we focus on. Actually, even using the word omnichannel sends me off on a rant, because actually it's only technology companies who focus on the word omnichannel. If I went to a customer and said, tell me about omnichannel, they'd say, what's that? Is that cross-channel? Is that a ferry or something? What are you talking about? Yes. You know, so actually we have to always be in the minds of what the consumer wants. And I think, you know, particularly in these post-pandemic days, or as we edge towards post-pandemic, we've got to get used to the fact that, you know, the customer shopping habits have changed. You know, what loyalty means to them has changed. And it's no good just focusing on, well, let's give them another channel to shop on. Let's go on to Facebook, or let's do something on Instagram, or why don't we start open an eBay shop or whatever. You've got to think, why does the customer shop with you? You know, what attracts them? What is innovative for them? You know, what would make them loyal? And these things have changed over time. And certainly, coming back to your question regarding, you know, the lack of consistency across channels, that is definitely a big factor, because most shopping journeys start online these days. Online, maybe the web, it may be a thing that's happened on Facebook, it may be an influencer on Instagram who has promoted a customer to want to look to buy something. And the most frustrating thing, and thing that's likely to lose loyalty, is if that simply isn't available on the channel they choose to pay on.
Yeah.
Seen this online, I've gone into the store and it's simply not available. It could be the reverse. It could be I've popped into the store and seen all these fantastic things. You know, I can buy one of these, I'll get one free, or whatever. And when I get, but I decide to do that when I get home, and when I go online, I can't find any evidence of the promotion.
But why does that happen? Because clearly retailers, they're not setting out to be awkward, and we've all experienced what it's like to kind of start with a promotion in one channel, and then we can't find it, and therefore we can't follow it through, and then I presumably most people kind of, you know, give up. But what's happening within the retail business that means there isn't this consistency across the journey that you and I are taking, which is a little bit more joined up than clearly the one the retailers seem to be making?
Well, I think that's almost like a history lesson in how channel trading systems evolved and how people purchased them. I mean, if you go back in time, you know, when there were less channels and less focus on this, clearly promotions that weren't simply price-based, but were ones that, you know, were volume-based or basket-based, something a little bit more creative, you know, were in the remit of, in quotes, the POS system had code for promotion type 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that's what it did, you know. And over time, as it got more complicated and technology evolved, POS system and e-commerce vendors offered promotion modules. But of course, these were built by the vendors themselves and had no commonality of approach. They did whatever they felt their customers would want online or at point of sale. So what I'm really saying is management and execution of promotions wasn't seen as something which is a strategic thing. It was something that was operational in each of these trading systems. Now, that was fine when there was one trading system. Possibly when there were two trading systems, that you could do some integration between the two and achieve reasonable consistency. But as it's now start to explode out, mobile POS, clienteling, kiosks, health scanning, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, having a different approach to promotions, and you know, because you're dealing with a different system from a different vendor on each of those channels, created a system that can't be dealt with, because each of these different places can't be done with integration. There's different facilities, different requirements, and retailers have fallen behind the pace.
So the individual promotions in each channel are probably perfectly fine. They're perfectly built for Instagram, or they're perfectly built for Facebook or in-store, whatever it might be. So that's not the problem. It's just the way they work together, or rather don't work together. But my question is, and I understand that, and forgive me if this is going to sound like a sort of bit of a clunky opportunity for an explanation, but surely there has been some progression over the years, because I understand exactly what you're saying, because it sounds as if promotion management just simply hasn't moved on.
Well, it certainly has moved on, but it's moved on in a sort of bits and bytes coding way. So typically, if you take any of the retailers I work with, over years their promotion landscape has got more complicated, and the vendors have responded by adding professional services or custom code, or in some cases new upgrades or whatever, adding deeper functionality. But I mean, I would question actually your statement saying that each of the individual channel systems' promotional functionality is adequate. I think it probably isn't. I think that, you know, as you apply an omni or multi-channel approach to it, you get different requirements emerging, and you simply find that each of the individual channels can't deal with those requirements because they were built singly for their own channel, if you see what I mean.
Yes, yeah.
Someone exclusively shops online will expect different kinds of promotions and more active promotions by time, things that are very much targeted to me, than you would perhaps expect that when you go into a store and it's more, if I buy two of those, I get a tie free or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
So as you bring them together, that's where the challenge comes from.
I'm going to stick with, I'm afraid, being critical of what retailers are or are not doing at the moment, because actually there was some more of your research which gets a little bit deeper into this, and apropos of what you've just been saying, which was that, again, in the research, 62% of consumers indicated that discounts and promotions differed based on where they were shopping. And then in addition, 37% said that their biggest irritation was when an in-store promotion couldn't be found online. Now, we started to talk about that, but why does this actually matter? In other words, do most consumers go, it doesn't matter, and they just kind of move on and they go and do something else? I just want to emphasize, if I can, to the readers, just how important it is that this is fixed.
Well, I think to some degree, it doesn't matter, I'll just move on, probably did used to happen, but because competition is so much fiercer, it's easy for someone to move on and not come back. We come back to what is loyalty in this multi-channel world? And it's really important. I think also there is also a point here that the level and depth of complexity in terms of promotions has increased because there are multiple business stakeholders who have different requirements on this. It's not just as it used to be in the IT department. Could you give us a buy one, get one free promotion? Because we need one of those. The marketing department, the customer officer, the digital officer, the merchandising department, the store manager, the e-commerce manager will all have different ways that they think that they can reward customers, drive loyalty, drive repeat visits, increase basket value. Okay, and they need to be able to, if you like, set up their own promotions that are going to drive that.
Yes.
Some will conflict with each other and some will be complementary
yes.
to each other.
Yes.
And they need something that understands all of that. Whereas in the past, it's been too difficult, I'll have to give up kind of thing. And therefore, we'll just leave it to someone technically minded to build us a new promotion.
And actually, I imagine within the some retail businesses, those individual stakeholders have kind of targets on their heads and different KPIs. So it's as if everybody's trying and is, as far as they're able to do, a great job, but they're operating in conflict, essentially, from the customer's point of view. Yeah.
They can be, and actually that causes operational difficulties, because where you have a product or set of products which are on more than one promotion, which actually when in the basket could overlap with each other, then the system deals with that, has to respect best for customer or best for retailer, which can be quite complicated there, and certainly not trigger two sets of discount on the same item because they happen to be part of two different promotions. Actually, whilst that might sound relatively simplistic, you know, we have retailers who are running hundreds of different types of promotions at the same time across multiple different levels. Is it applied item level, at basket level, at payment level? Is it applied when they select delivery method or when they use a specific type of credit card? So you imagine 400 different promotion combinations. I'm thinking of one of our fashion retailers who does this. At seven different levels across four channels, across the three brands they own, in 47 countries, across 40 currencies, in five separate languages,
that's
the cross-sell and upsell stuff, you're going to get lots of overlap, lots of complexity, and if you're not careful, lots of pissed off customers because they don't get the same results, you know, when they shop on different channels. And also lots of queues at checkout time because it's going to be lots of manual things the systems haven't dealt with properly.
I was going to ask you about that, the execution bit. In other words, what it's like in front of the customers. But before I do, I wanted to understand if a promotion fails, completely falls flat on its face, someone's going to notice. Or if conversely, it is an absolute runaway success, then again someone's going to notice. But if it's sort of just about works, who actually, if you like, at the end of all of this goes, well guys, that wasn't it started well because it was a great idea, a great promotion, but it just didn't really work. Well, who's even going to know at the end of it that it didn't work all that well, and also two, that there were lots of pissed off customers, unless those customers go onto Facebook and kick off, you know. So how do you get that visibility into how well you're performing, I guess?
I mean, I guess that, you know, that you're talking about the cycle of promotions, you know, because the cycle starts with an idea, okay, and then it has to be implemented through a workflow and it goes into operation, and there has to be a review process to say, you know, well, what was the incremental spend, you know, what was the average basket value and this kind of thing. And we have clients who do all of that. I mean, I'm thinking of another one of our fashion clients who implemented our promotion management and execution software, and actually the result was they were able to increase turnover and repeat visits and average transaction value of the customers, whilst at the same time giving more promotions and more value and more reward. They decreased their discount because they gave it to the right people at the right time in a consistent manner, and it meant something as a reward, as an offer, as opposed to being something which was just a generic thing and they weren't able to therefore look at the effectiveness about this.
So clearly, this is very important, isn't it, now what you're talking about, because there is the presumption is it's a promotion, therefore it's a discount, and it's all a question of, well, how much are we going to discount over what period of time, and off we go and try to make it as compelling and attractive as possible. So you're saying something different here. This shouldn't be about a race to the bottom on discounts.
Certainly not. And actually, if you regard promotions to be simply across the board cheaper prices, then actually I think that is a race to the bottom, because in the end, you know, you're competing against Primark or you're competing against Aldi or whatever.
And you're not going to win that one.
It's probably not going to be one, is it? So what you've got to do is to appear to be offering the right reward and the right offer that's meaningful to the customer, but not making that a blanket thing. I mean, if I read from this patent I'm talking about, what they regarded, what they did in 2020 with us to be, in quotes, a huge success. This is from their documentation. They increased basket size with improved margin whilst reducing discounts, eliminated all duplicate discounts, simplified processes, and tell me they basically were able to therefore improve focus on the more valuable opportunities, because they could see what was working, they could see what wasn't working, and they could quickly change things. Because in the end, whatever technology companies do, the only reason a retailer wants to use any of the technology is to optimize increased turnover whilst decreasing costs if they can, and therefore improving margin. And that's basically what it's all about.
Yeah. Let's come back to that, because you started to talk about what it's like for both customers and indeed staff in stores. And going back to your research, 30% of customers talked about delays at till points when processing promotions as their biggest grievance, with the knock-on effect that footfall in stores already under threat falls even further because of poor customer experience. So what actually happens with processing of vouchers and coupons and that kind of thing that creates this irritation, presumably for the coupon holder or the voucher holder, as well as the people piling up behind them, I guess?
Well, you bring up a different point there, actually, Chris. There's two things we're focusing on there. One is the execution of the promotion. In other words, this basket, I as a consumer have put that in my basket because I know I'm going to get the ink cartridge free because I bought this and this and this. And of course, when I go to the till, for some reason, it doesn't ping. And therefore, there's a fault in the software, presumably. It's not sophisticated enough to recognize what I've done. And the manager has to be called and the assistant has to do something manual. Now, of course, they won't always do it right. And they may end up giving away discount that they weren't supposed to give. They're in a rush because there's 20 people. So that's what happens. But then the other side of what you just mentioned, you brought up the word coupon, which is a particularly bad word, but I can't think of another word to explain it. Coupon sounds like a piece of paper in my pocket, you know, a dog ear that someone sent me in the post. If I give it to you, I'm going to get £5 off or something.
It does, yeah.
Actually, it's much more sophisticated than that. It can be electronic only. You know, we have a big customer in Canada called Metro, and Metro use AI software to, quote, focus coupons and offer them to individual customers. Okay, and those individual customers can go online and select which ones are the e-coupons, if I use that word, that they might want, and they click them to their account. And when they go into the store and they go to pay, you know, they obviously present their loyalty card because that's how it works. It knows who they are and it automatically triggers all of the coupons that they've selected, which are relevant to their basket, and takes the money off. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that side of coupons, and there's also the issuance of coupons. We've all been into chemists and these kind of retailers, and you buy something and the outcome's 1 yard of till receipt and the last 2 foot of it.
Next time you visit, you get this discount. Yeah.
Well, of course, that ought to be electronic. You know, it should be adding to your account. To get home, you can see you've now got another coupon. You can click there. Next time I go, and automatically it will happen. I won't have to remember the piece of paper you gave me that is now filling up my back pocket so I can barely sit down and those sorts of things. But it's a complex world. All of these factors mean in software that is behind the curve, if you like, it doesn't always work properly. And therefore, the assistant has to do something manual, has to call the manager. Time gets taken. And, you know, people go home because they can't be bothered to wait because something's happening in the queue and, you know, I haven't got time to do this. That causes frustration, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Now, going back to the talking more about the answer to the problem is that we've been saying throughout the podcast, when we refer to they, you know, they retailers, well, who do we actually mean by they? Because I now have a kind of vision of you've still got your individual departments responsible for promotions, and we're not trying to take that power away from them. So what happens next? Because I can't quite see, is it that each of them has the same piece of software, but does that not then create additional islands of automation and visibility and all the rest of it. How do you impose something across the sort of promotional cycle, if I can call it that, that is going to work for the retailers and indeed is going to look a bit more consistent, channel consistent, if you like, for the customer?
Well, okay, you're certainly right in that we're not trying to take anything away from the business stakeholders. Actually, we're trying to do the complete reverse, trying to give them the capability to implement their ideas. But you're also right in that if you're not careful, that creates what might be called the Wild West, in that everyone's doing their own thing and not considering what other people are doing, and therefore overlaps and customer inconsistency.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, the software has to have lots of different capability. Clearly has to have the capability to set up a promotion for it to be rules-based, not hard-coded to do certain things so that they can do what they want, but also has to have visibility so that when promotions are being created, any overlap, other departments' promotions, you know,
right, okay,
on channels, in stores, by delivery method, by basket or whatever, are at least brought to the fore so that, you know, the individual business stakeholder can decide what they need to do. Clearly, there is a big thing for retailers to take into account here, in that once you give your business stakeholders the ability to do things, you also need a management process to review what it is that they're doing and how successful it is. Otherwise, you're simply giving away money by lots of ideas without knowing if it's actually working. But that's for the retailer, if you like.
But you're that sounds positive to me, because you're imposing, well, imposing isn't the word, because that's not what we're doing. They have choice, but it forces a level of collaboration, doesn't it? Because if overlap is identified, then hopefully one individual or one department could say, okay, well, actually what you're doing is working for me and I can contribute in these ways, and we can share the data and some of the processes, presumably through the actual software, so that there isn't repetition and there isn't overlap. Yes, I didn't sort of understand that before when you talked about overlap. It's less to do with overlap. Once you go to market with that promotion, it's preventing that happening in the first place, so that hopefully you then go out with essentially a better promotion, more targeted, yeah, and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, at least understanding it. I mean, a classic case for overlap is in vendor-funded promotion. You have, yes, your own promotions, and at the time, I don't know, a vendor saying that this tin of paint is £20 or whatever, or you can buy, if you buy three tins of paint, one of them's for nothing, you know, that sort of thing. And again, the system has to make sure, according to the rules you give it, that that's preserved. And actually, arguably at that time, it may be that you don't want to give best to customer. You want to make sure that you take the vendor promotion because they're paying for it. There's two points there. That's often where overlaps come from. Mm-hmm. But the system has to make sure that it's prioritized in the right way for the retailer and for the customer.
So going back to they again, this everyone within the retail business. So who... I'm trying to understand whether there is a person within a department who at the end of all of this goes, you know what, guys, this is really working well. Does this all kind of come together within finance, for instance, or marketing, or someone to say, actually, look, we can see that we're just generally getting better at this, and we're making more money, and we're getting better conversions, and we're getting our cash back quicker from a promotion. And oh, look, actually, we didn't have to give away too much margin.
Well, as ever with these things, new job roles emerge because there's new possibilities and what the market dictates. So years ago, we didn't have a chief digital officer, a chief technology officer, a chief customer officer, and we now do. We're increasingly seeing roles which are head of pricing and promotion, where clearly the buck stops with. But underneath all of that, clearly you've still got the head of merchandising who's targeted on a certain number, you know, the retail director, the e-commerce director, and indeed finance. If you like, if you said to me, Robin, here's a retailer who's interested in your software, who do you want to talk to? Well, actually, I would want to talk to the heads of all of those different sectors, because they all play a role in this. Finance, in the end, of course, has to prepare the books, and all the margin and things come from there. But each of the individual, you know, business stakeholders have their own KPIs. But, you know, to answer your question directly, we are now seeing push for different job roles, head of promotions and price planning is a role that I've seen. You know, lots of companies in North America have that. Increasingly seeing that in the UK as well. I've been on conversations with retailers in the UK recently, actually talking people with that exact role, and then they want to bring in other stakeholders, including finance, head of trading,
to talk about
how they can work together, sort of thing.
But the danger is that then that's even more complexity, because you've got more people who want to make their mark and achieve something and plan promotion. So it sounds like the extent to which retail is more promotional than it's ever been, I guess, is true now.
Well, I guess isn't that, you know, that's driven by more competition, more channels to shop in, and therefore you have to be more innovative in how you shop. Promotion is not just come in today and, you know, it's £10 instead of £12 or whatever, but it's something that rewards the customer. And we're actually seeing a trend for reward, not to be just discount, but to be more lifestyle based. You know,
yes.
So if you do this, we will give this to charity. I was talking to a retailer recently that said they wanted to launch a program. This was an athletic sporting goods retailer. And they said to me, we want a program that says if you purchase in this way, we'll plant a tree for you, because you're going out, you're, I don't know, buying our running gear, whatever it was they were talking about, good for you. And we want to be good for the environment too. And certain segments of customers, that'll be really important to them.
Yes.
As opposed to getting £5 off their training shoes. Well, it has to be £50 off their training shoes, probably, but if you get my point.
Well, the point is, once you're targeting, I guess you can do both. You can find that cohort, as we use that word we use all the time now, of your customers who are interested in the lifestyle elements. That doesn't mean you to get rid of discounts. That might work perfectly well for a certain other cohort of customers. But so actually, that sounds like even more complexity, but which would need to be managed, because you may, when you talk about retailers running sort of tens or hundreds of promotions, they may well get to the point where they're running literally thousands because of the different segments, but that's perfectly possible.
Indeed, and Metro, I mentioned them earlier, our grocery customer in North America and Canada, they have a 900 stores. They have 7,000 promotions running as of today across 5 million customers.
Right, okay.
And every week by AI, which is not us, I have to say, we just work in partnership with a company who does this, the AI recommends which promotions to go to the customers, and we help manage and execute all of that. So nothing has to be done at point of sale. It's all automatic, but it's very, very heavily targeted.
Yes.
And obviously, if the customer thinks this is right for me, I'm getting the right things from this retailer, you know, they reward me in the right way, they incentivize me in the right way. I'm not saying think exactly like that, but they feel good about it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Then that's clearly bound to drive loyalty. And using one solution that does that means that when the retailer then starts to do self-scanning, it'll still work. Curbside pickup or whatever it is they're doing, it'll still work. One thing I was going to mention earlier, you were talking actually about having promotions that in-store weren't recognised from omnichannel. Always be a need to have single-channel promotions, because that may be a way of getting customers back into the stores.
Sure.
Now that they're not used to going into the stores, but it needs to be obvious to the consumer that it is a channel promotion. You go into the store today between 8 and Blue Cross there, whatever, as it used to be.
Yes.
This will happen, and they're not expecting it to be online.
Yes.
It's an incentive. Whilst you're going to your office, now that we're all starting to go back to work, why don't you come in? Because we've got this thing for you.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And actually, you started to talk about it. And I think this is, I think you'll agree, is pretty important. This, because some software companies can tend to say, use our software, but you'll have to get rid of that software. You'll have to get rid of this system, and it doesn't work with that system.
Yeah.
So you're quite the opposite, I believe. You're saying you don't need to get rid of anything.
Indeed, we are. So what we're actually saying is the backbone systems that retailers have are hugely important. They've spent lots of money on a point-of-sale infrastructure, rolling out to 500 stores or whatever, enormous amounts of money on e-commerce, and get all responsive. They bought an ERP system, SAP, Microsoft, or whatever. Those are all great. You've got to have backbone systems, but you also have to recognise that certain functions should not be the remit of a single backbone system. They should be strategic and outside that. So we believe that promotion, execution, management is part of that. Again, we have clients that we have preserved their backbone system, particularly point of sale, 15-year-old point of sale that couldn't cope with the promotions that they wanted to do. And because they put a simple execution from that trading system out to our system, the return, the results from the basket provided, they're able to get more bucks out of that system and preserve its life for further years. Why would you change it? They should be backbone systems that say, I'm there to take money, okay, and to make it efficient. And when I need to know where the stock is, who the customer is, which price should apply, what promotions should apply, those are systems outside those because you need them across multiple channels.
But Robin, you've got 20, 30 or more years having dealt with retailers who said, listen, mate, we're not going to replace this or we're not going to replace that. It's just not going to happen. So you have quite some experience in terms of helping them with workarounds and even to the extent of actually writing software to enable that to happen. So that's life in retail anyway, right? That's not going to change.
Yeah, it's not going to change and it's got more complicated. When I first started doing it, they had one point of sale system and one central system and that was it. You know, today they have a consumer app, they have a kiosk, they have a mobile point of sale, they have point of sale itself, they have the e-commerce, multiple e-commerces sometimes, partners who need their data, and it just got more complicated. So you have to break out of all of that and say, well, I can't do all that myself. I've got to go to partners. And luckily, in this technology world we live today, it's possible to implement microservices that solve problems for you. Yeah. And, you know, as I said before, enable you to retain those systems as opposed to possibility of replacing a 500 store point of sale system and an ERP system. It's just in these days where money is tight, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Get it doing what it's good at, which is essentially an end-to-end process, and put in the call-out points for the strategic things that you think should be done cross-channel. Happy to debate this for several hours with you, Chris. I know.
Well, indeed.
But that's the way of it.
Well, and sadly, I do need to wrap it up. But I wanted to inevitably with these types of things, one is looking to the future. But I thought a good way to end would be to say, when you're lucky enough to have a retailer ring you up and say, Robin, we've got a problem. Is it possible to generalize to say, at what point does a retailer recognize, look, we've got a problem? Is it to do with market share? Is it to do with just too many promotions not performing? What tends to kind of create enough pain for them to react?
Well, there's usually some other factor that's changing. In other words, personnel have changed. They brought in a new head of something. Or as one of the retailers I was talking to recently has said, they told me that prior to the pandemic, they were turning over 100 million in their online channel, international online channel. As a result of the pandemic, they're now turning over 200 million. Okay, and simply put, they can't keep pace with the kinds of things that they need to do, and therefore they've got new staff, new processes, and it's that kind of thing which makes them think that there must be a different way of doing things. And okay, and typically that's when they call up. Another factor, I guess, is, you know, retailers often have their peers. Years and years ago, when I first started in retail, it used to be, I remember going to see Oasis at the time, and I said, what are you going to do about this? And they said, well, we'll decide when Marks and Spencer do something. We'll do whatever they do. I mean, this is like, don't get me wrong, this is like 30 years ago. Okay. Yep. Now, that still applies, you know, because people look around and say, well, wait a minute, ASOS are doing this. You know, we need to respond or whatever. Yeah. And therefore, I might get a call on that basis saying, well, how do you think they're doing that, Robin? How can you help us respond?
Yes, and, you know, yes. Sometimes so the I human, might say, well, the human. Yes, the politics and the human factor plays into this. Clearly.
Well, of course it does, because all you know, we keep talking about they, but they are a group of people who are trying to do the best that they can given the targets and objectives they've been given.
Yeah.
And also thinking about their future career and not making the wrong mistake, if you see what I mean. So it always has to come down to human factors, because people buy off people, don't they, in the end?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Listen, Robin, a pleasure as always. I think we had a good chat. Hopefully our audience will enjoy that as well. So I'm going to say thank you and goodbye. And I look forward to having a chat with you next time. Take care.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to one in a series of podcasts brought to you by Retail Connections, which is an online media site that covers all things to do with retail and retail technology. If you want to visit that site, it is at www.retailconnections.co.uk.